27. That's good music. Two places in Deuteronomy, 27 and 18. 27 and 18. I'm sorry, 16. 27 and 16. Let's go with Deuteronomy 27 first. First four verses. Did I say 27? I meant 29. Eventually we'll get it right. 29 and 16. Okay, 29:1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord made or commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So it's a special agreement. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. That's weird statements there. Verse 2, you saw. Verse 2, you saw these things. Verse 3, you didn't see these things. See, obviously, verse 4, it's the eyes of perception. Yeah, they saw them physically, but they didn't understand what was going on. Okay, and notice in verse 4, the Lord must give you an heart to perceive. It's a gift. This time of year, people think about gifts, mostly for themselves. Okay, there's probably the greatest gift that you can get, eyes that are open to the truth. A gift of perception. Okay, now back in Deuteronomy 16, this would be the opposite side of that coin, and this would be the, some call them the movers and shakers, you know, the hoi polloi, you know, the elite, the top dogs, the ones that, you know, control what's going on. Deuteronomy 16:18, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Now, this one's the opposite side. In Deuteronomy 29, it's a gift to have your eyes open. And here, someone's taking a gift, or you can see it's a bribe, that's closing their eyes. The opposite's there. One is a gift of perception. The other one is a gift of deception. And both of them have their eyes opened, at least in some way. So that's what I want to go on this morning, and let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words and help us to see what's going on throughout the world and in this world. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be ones with eyes that are open, that are trying to tell others what's going on, and especially about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us realize that our opponent will have also their eyes open, but they will have their eyes open in order to deceive people. Help us to understand that and see that you are in control, and help us to be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you would, try Isaiah chapter 6. As you could probably tell, this ain't going to be a typical Christmas feel-good type message. Okay, so a gift of having eyes opened, okay? And basically, there was somebody did a study a while back, one of the schools, and they were saying that there are basically 3% of society that have evil intentions and they want to control the world. And then there are 3% of society that have good intentions and would like to tell the world, you know, the truth about things. And then 94% are the sheeple in the middle. Now, I think 3% is high on both sides. Okay, generally speaking, it's usually less than 1% that's trying to run the show for darkness. and 1% that's trying to alert people to the truth of Jesus Christ. And 1% would be high. Okay, and 1% I'll be behind both sides. Now, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, this is a commission that God gave Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament. He had about a 70-year time span where he was the less than 1% on the right side, trying to warn the Israelites or the Jews about the destruction or slavery of their nation. Isaiah 6, verse 9, this is the commission. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." That's a discouraging commission. He said, I want you to preach it to these people. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to see what you see. And in fact, they're going to be destroyed someday. But still, I want you to go out there and tell them. Okay, now the opposite side of the coin, Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Verse 9. One is a sincere proponent of the truth, and the other is an insincere opponent against the truth. Okay, one is somebody who sincerely is trying to tell people the truth about things, and the other is they're insincerely trying to hide the truth. They know the truth, but they're trying to hide it from people. You'll find these people side by side in 2 Timothy 3:12, where it says, "Yea, that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And the next verse says, "And evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's the deceivers persecuting the ones trying to live godly. Okay, that's always been since Cain killed Abel many years ago. Okay, Isaiah 29, verse 1, it says, "Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine." Now, I'm sure some of you have experienced this. Isaiah, did I not say the right? Isaiah 29, verse 9. Okay, where did I tell you? See, I messed all up this morning. Part-timers have set in. Okay, Isaiah 29, 9. Let's try it again. "Stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink." Now, I have seen that, and I'm sure many of you have seen that. In that. You ever talk to somebody and you get on a subject that they don't want to talk about, and it's a truthful subject, and their eyes will glass over? I've seen that. No drugs, no booze. Their eyes glass over. And what that is a spirit of slumber. God reads that heart. He sees that heart. They know that he knows that they don't want the truth. They don't want to care about the truth. And a spirit just glosses their eyes over, and you're talking to a brick wall. Now, that person will recognize in their spirit that they get nervous, their heart starts beating a little faster, and they don't want to deal with this. And so their way of doing it is just roll back their brain and their skull, and they don't want to talk about it. I would say somebody who's sincere is willing to talk about anything, any subject, any idea. Hey, if you learn something, if you don't know about the truth, hey, you got an opportunity to learn. I don't care who I sit down and talk to. Buddhist, Satanist, Islamic, I don't care who it is. We can sit down and talk. Now, obviously, Islamic, I'm going to make sure he don't got anything strapped to him. You're saying, well, they're not all that way. Well, who says they are all that way? But the moderates never condemn suicide bombers. So if they don't condemn it, they're an accomplice. Okay, but you see, we ought to be willing to sit down with anybody anytime and talk ideas, I guess you could say, okay, or truth. But yet, you may see somebody's eyes glass over when they haven't been drinking. Didn't pop a pill. That's a spirit, my friend. Verse 10, it says, "For the Lord hath poured out unto you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and the rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." I have taken this book, sixth grade English book, show it to college graduates or people in college, and they look at this and they say, I can't understand it. You can't understand sixth grade English? What's your problem? The problem is their eyes are sealed. Their problem is they've got the spirit of slumber. Why is that? They don't want the truth. They don't want to face up to it. Okay, now if you take this same book and take it to somebody who hadn't been in school and don't have much learning, it says in verse 12, "And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me." Okay, this time of year, people do not mind thinking about Jesus Christ. Why? Because they think of him at this time of year as a baby. Babies do not offend people. They might offend your nostrils at certain times, you know, if they stink. Okay, but people don't mind thinking about Jesus Christ at this time of year. Heathen will sing Christmas songs at this time of year. Why? They get a personal benefit, the commercialism. And they don't mind thinking about Jesus Christ as a baby. Now, when that baby grows up and turns into a 30-year-old man who stands on a street corner and preaches at them, that's when they mind it. He's bothering my system. And he did that for about 3.5 years, and that's all that they could take, and they killed the man. They would have done it sooner if he would have allowed it, but he was just waiting on God as far as when God wanted the right time, because everything is beautiful in his time. See? And so they don't mind that. But yet their talk about him is, as it says, they draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us and who knoweth us? These are the movers and shakers. What do they do in secret? What do they do in the deep, dark times? They think they're hiding from God. Their eyes are opened in that they know that their argument is with God. Okay, much of life is like a chess set. If you play chess, you've got several pieces. You've got a king, queen, you've got a bishop, a knight, a rook, and 8 pawns. And basically, all the pieces can be sacrificed or captured except the king. The king is the key. And even at times, he will sacrifice all the pawns. If you look at wars, many wars is basically a spoiled brat king here and a spoiled brat king here, and they put all the pawns in the middle and let them fight it out. That's basically wars. Okay, now as the spiritual war goes, you have the spoiled brat king here, the devil and his minions, and then you've got Jesus Christ and his few that are trying to promote him, and those two are wrestling back and forth, and in the middle, they're wrestling to tell them the truth, and they are wrestling to tell them to hide the truth from them. They know the truth, but they're hiding it from the ones in the middle. That's the basic struggle of life. Okay, and so the chess set, where are you and I? Well, we're the pawns, the rooks, the knights, the bishops, okay, and being sacrificed in this process. Isaiah had a commission. His commission was to tell the people the truth. The elite had a commission. Their commission was to hide the truth from the people. This is in every field of life in the world. Every area, medical profession, legal profession, I don't care where you go, every profession has somebody at the top that knows they are purposely deceiving people, and somebody who is trying to expose the deception, and they got to take out that person. Like Joseph Goebbels said, that if you tell a lie and you continue to tell a lie, eventually the people will believe it. The sad fact is that truth is often stranger than fiction. And that occurs in almost every area of life. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts about opened eyes this morning. And the first one is the greatest prayer that you can pray is that your eyes are open to the truth. You got nothing to lose. Unless you don't want the truth. And then you are what they call is a bigot. But yet the bigots call us the bigots, but yet they are not open to the truth. College professors crack me up. Claim to be open-minded, pass out a gospel tract at Purdue University. It's kind of hilarious. You can see a college professor when they walk by. How do you know? Their nose is stuck up like this. And you try and offer a gospel tract, and then you just smile and say, well, I thought you guys were open-minded. They're so narrow-minded, a flea can land on their nose and kick them in both eyes at the same time. You see? They're not open-minded. They're not broad-minded. They're so narrow-minded, they stick their tongue out, they look like a zipper. Okay, and so the thing is that they're not open to the truth. But pray that your eyes are opened to the truth. The greatest prayer you can pray, the psalmist wrote it this way, Psalms 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, show me the truth. Paul expanded that prayer in Ephesians 1:18, where he said, I pray that my eyes are enlightened, that I have enlightened eyes of understanding. You see, wisdom and understanding stem from God and God himself. Knowledge is your part and my part. It is our part to study. We are to read. We are to study. Now, if you get your information from the news media, you are not studying. You know, that is nothing more than opening up your mind and filling it with a bunch of garbage. Because if you think they are actually giving you the news, you got another thing coming. Man, they are trying to manipulate your mindset. Okay, anybody can figure that out, hopefully, unless some folks got their eyes closed. But you see, once you get the knowledge, you pray that God would give you wisdom and understanding. This in 1 Kings 4, verse 9, Solomon, most people know Solomon as a very wise man. It says this, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. If it wasn't for the Lord, he wouldn't have had it. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Isaiah 11:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. There's a fellow named Daniel, and it says about him, God gave them, Daniel and his three buddies, knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. If it weren't for God, he wouldn't have never received it. Now there's a fellow in the Old Testament, if you would look in 2 Kings, a fellow named Elisha. Now, he's part of that 1% that was trying to tell people about the truth. He was going against the 1% that was hiding the truth from the people. Both he and the 1% of the dark side, they had their eyes open. They knew what was going on. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, Elisha has been forewarned by God that an opposing army, the Syrians, are one of conquering the Jews. Okay, the opposing army wants to come in and destroy the Jews, okay? And Elisha, you know, somehow had connections with some military people, and he warned him. He said, don't go here, don't go here, because they're going to try to ambush you. Okay, and so then the opposing army surrounded Elisha's house, okay? Elisha, that's who I'm talking about if I didn't say that. Okay, Elisha's house now has an army of, say, I don't know how many thousand, but several thousand around his house. 2 Kings 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, at that time, if you were the servant, you would look at him, and you would probably try to look in the phone book for a funny farm. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let's see, Elisha, 1, 2. We have 2, and I saw quite a few up there. And at that point, he would have probably said that this guy is flat nuts. And often that's what the world says about somebody who has their eyes open. They said about Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. That's what they said about him. Well, let's see what Elisha does about this. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now he saw who was really out there. You know, if you and I saw that, if God opened your eyes like that, you'd have a much different outlook on life. Okay? But in the New Testament, we live by faith. Verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria, and it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. What a dirty trick he played. But notice, the idea is that he prayed for somebody to have open eyes. God opened her eyes. He saw what was really going on. He had a different outlook on life. Basically, the idea is the greatest prayers for you is to pray that your eyes are open to the truth. Now, the second thought on that. Opened eyes does not guarantee right living. Okay, why do we say that? Look in Genesis chapter 3. Open eyes does not guarantee right living. Genesis chapter 3, way at the beginning of time. You see, the basic thought, or the basic, not thought, but the advertisement that the elite of the public schools try to inform people, they say, well, if we teach the children, educate them about drugs and sex, then they will make an appropriate decision. In other words, if we open their eyes about this, then they're going to do the right thing. That ain't true. They know, the elite at the top know, that if we open their eyes about these drugs and sex, it's going to promote it higher and higher so that they can make more money. And they know that full well. Opened eyes does not guarantee right living. Genesis 3, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in a day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when somebody's honest about that, they try to cover up their sin. Now, there's a fella in Numbers chapter 22. Named Balaam. This guy had evil intentions. He's part of the 1% that's trying to destroy somebody. This guy had his eyes wide open. This guy, like the Pharisees, knew exactly that they were killing Jesus Christ. The Pharisees knew that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, and they knew that they were going to kill God's son. The people who they manipulated to get a part of the crucifixion were ignorant of it. Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. The people. But the elite knew exactly what they were doing. And Jesus Christ forewarned them, and he told those guys time and time again. Now, Numbers 22, this guy named Balaam, he wanted to curse Israel, but he knew that God wanted to bless Israel. Numbers 22:31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in a way, and a sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. He knew he was going directly contrary to God. In chapter 24, you'll see that Balaam had his eyes wide open, verse 3 and 4. It said, the man whose eyes are opened. Verse 4, he hath said which the words of the God which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Verse 13, 14, this guy had his eyes open. But this same character, you read in chapter 31, that he still went ahead with his evil intentions, and he eventually was killed on the sides of the enemy. Just because a person has their eyes open doesn't mean that's going to guarantee right living. What's it say about Balaam in 2 Peter? It says that this guy loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now notice, it did not say he loved unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now this is what you're going to see, if your eyes are open about some things, in every area of life. The agenda of the elite, international, national, you know, statewide, local, You know, for example, if you do in a banking industry, the ones at the top, a president of a bank knows that he is committing fraud. He knows that. He's making a good living doing it. He knows that he is not going to be gone against in court. He knows that. Now, most of the other people in the bank do not know that. They think everything is legit and everything, but you see, they don't even come to their mind. Illuminati, they know exactly they're against God. Secret societies, the Masons. The Masons at the top, the 33rd degree, they know absolutely that they are worshiping Lucifer. Albert Pike said that, 33rd degree Mason. He said that and published that. Now, the first, second, or third degree, they don't know that, a lot of them. They're blind to it. But the ones at the top know what they're doing. And this is in every field. The Mormons, the prophet of Mormonism, whoever he is now, he knows he's a liar. He knows that he is worshiping Satan. But a lot of the Mormon people don't know that. His eyes are wide open about those things. In every area of life, you're going to see this. For example, the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Army, and all that stuff. The Hezbollah, those people at the top, they know that their agenda is designed to kill every Jewish person they can find. There's nothing that's going to change that. You can have all the peace talks. You can give them the Gaza Strip. You can give them the whole nation of Israel. But they will not be happy ever and at that. But they will get close to happiness when they kill every Jew. The ones at the top know that. Only these dumb, stupid Americans haven't got that figured out. Now, what you do is you go to people who've lived there. There's a lady that's got quite a testimony. She was raised in Lebanon. She was taught in that country to hate the Jews. She was taught that they are devils. She was taught this from a little girl up. And at age 10 to 17, she lived in a bomb shelter because the Muslims were murdering and torturing Christians in Lebanon. 7 years she lived in a bomb shelter trying to get out, eat grass in order to survive. Her mother was wounded. And when she was being transported from Lebanese into the border of Israel, the taxi man charged her a bunch of money. And then when she gets into Israel, it goes from Israel to the Israeli hospital, the taxi Jewish man charged her nothing and said, "We're just here to help you." Goes into the hospital and was scared to death because she thought these Jews were devils. They're devils. They're devils. Because that's what we've been taught. And she sees the exact opposite. Her eyes are open now. Well, eventually, she moves up into the media ranks and becomes a news anchor in Jerusalem, and she tells people the truth about the Muslims and the PLO and Hezbollah. What's that mean for her? That means a death sentence. Why? Because the ones at the top don't sacrifice their children to suicide bombers. They don't do that. They let the peons do that. You see? This lady's eyes were wide open. Now she's got a decision in life. Where's she going to go? What she do is she fled to America and is trying to promote, tell people in America the truth about the Quran and the Muslims. But what Americans do? Oh, it's a peace-loving religion. They don't even listen to the testimony of somebody who lived in it. Interesting, remember when we had Sidney White here? Sidney White's a missionary in Israel right now, and he was dating at the time a Lebanese woman, Ida, and he asked her what her goal in life was. You know, he'd given that testimony, and I kind of chuckled. Yeah, her goal in life at that time was probably to commit suicide, bring honor to her family. And that is exactly what her goal was. And then she got born again and realized that God gave his own son for her rather than Allah wanting you to sacrifice your own children for him. Big contrast. In every area of life is like this. For example, in the religious realm, look if you would in Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, verse 10. You turn on the telly and people sit there and see these clowns on that television and they think, oh, they're so spiritual. They're a bunch of money-grubbing liars. You see, how many of them? 99 out of 100 of them. They're blind as a dead dog. Isaiah 56, verse 10, this is what Isaiah said about them. He said, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, loving to slumber, or lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which cannot, that which never can have enough, and they are shepherds, they cannot understand, they all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. You say, what? All the top dogs of the charismatics. Benny Hinn, he knows he's a liar. You know, as he takes a cocaine pipe and sticks it in his buddy's mouth, got that on film. You see, and see, these people at the top, they're just a bunch of crooked dogs. You see, and a lot of people at the bottom, they don't get this figured out. But the Lord, every once in a while, will open up their eyes. I'll give you an example. There's a woman down in Kentucky, went to a snake handling church, snake bit her, she dies. Too late for her, but somebody in the church better get their eyes open. And if somebody still promotes that foolishness after that fact, you know they're a lying dog. There's a fella in Africa, thought he's going to try to show his people that he's got faith. So what does he do? He's an evangelist. His name is Frank Cabelli, 35 years old. He tells his people that he is going to walk on water like Jesus. So he's going to pray he's got enough faith to walk on water like Jesus. He took his congregation to the beach, saying he would walk across this bay, takes about 20 minutes by boat. He walks in the water, soon passed over his head, never came back, and he drowned. Couldn't happen to a better fella. Now, what is that? Them people better wake up. You know how these guys in TV are fakers? They don't raise dead people. They don't feed 5,000 like Jesus Christ did. They can't walk on water. They can't stop a hurricane like Jesus Christ could. Bunch of lying dogs. You say, what are they like? All Christian schools about like that. 99% of them. You say, like who? Moody Bible Institute. Cedarville College in Ohio. Lancaster Bible College out there in Pennsylvania. Grace College that I went to for a couple years. The guys at the top know they're lying to those kids. They know that they don't have a Bible that they believe. They know that. I wrote the guy at Grace College after I got my eyes open about this, and boy, what a smart aleck. You know, it's one of those you just want to tick right across the title, like, you know, across the face. What do? They spend time in there attacking the Word of God. That's what they do. You see? And they know exactly what they're doing. The news industry is just like that. The news industry in Hollywood trying to promote these sodomites, trying to tell you that, you know, they're just an alternative lifestyle. They're a bunch of perverts that want to mess around with little kids. You see, they don't tell you the truth. How can you say, so I dare you to go to a gay parade and just see what goes on? You will be appalled. I don't suggest going, but if you don't have your head out of the sand on that, if you're like an ostrich, interesting, the Bible says about the ostrich that God did not give the ostrich wisdom. Isn't that something? That bird is so dumb, that bird will lay his eggs and walk around forgetting that's going to step on them. But God put that in that bird's heart to let people know that if you stick your head in the sand, that doesn't mean that the wolf ain't going to come and bite you in the rump. You see? And the thing is opened eyes does not guarantee right living. The third thought is a sincere and honest heart is the determining factor of opened eyes. A sincere and honest heart. If a person does not have a sincere and honest heart, God will not open their eyes. He will not do it. In the New Testament, let's try that one, Luke chapter 8, verse 15. That sincere and honest heart. The thing about the Lord is he sees the heart. He looks right down into it. And that person knows their heart when they want to keep their head in the sand and say, well, I don't care what they say. I don't like them. I don't care what they say. Keep your head in the sand. Just keep it in the sand. You know, your unbelief make the Word of God of none effect? God forbid. You can believe all you want, but it doesn't mean a cotton-picking thing. You see? Luke chapter 8, verse 15, it says this, but that on the good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The thing is a sincere and honest heart is the determining factor. A sincere. Sincerity. Do you want the truth? You say, well, I don't even know what the truth is. Well, there's some sincerity. Okay? The first step to learning something is to realize that you're ignorant. That's the first step. Okay, so a sincere and honest heart. Is Jesus Christ the way? A sincere man will search it out for himself. An ostrich will stick their head in the sand and say, no, Muhammad's the really white one. When he violated the Quran himself. You know, Muhammad, I mean, if you go to one of these cultures, you know, if you can make this statement publicly, and it is a truthful statement. Muhammad was a pedophile. And boy, they will kill you right and left over that statement. But what do you call a person who messed around with an 11-year-old girl? That's what Muhammad did. Their history proves that fact, even states that fact. But you see, people that got their head in the sand, they're just as blind as a bat, they want to ignore it. Every area of life, a sincere and honest heart is the determining factor. And the last thought is that God will expose and judge the imaginations of the proud. Whether it's you, whether it's me, He is going to someday, at a judgment, He's going to open up and He's going to show people what's in your heart. He's going to expose that and He's going to judge it. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, the determining factor, the one that you're going to be compared to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 2, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. People say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. You say, well, that's just what you think. No, that's what that said. You say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It doesn't matter. Why don't you find out if it's true? And if you don't want to find out if it's true, like an ostrich, you got a prideful heart, and you are your own God. And that is, that's how the thing goes. God is the one that gives the gift of open eyes. And that's the greatest gift, is to open your eyes to truth. Before you can come to Jesus Christ, you've got to have opened eyes. So what I would do, if I don't know what's going on, I'd say, Lord, please open my eyes to truth, and Lord, please give me the right information that I need to know in order to make a reasonable and honest decision and accept the truth. It's a great gift that God gives, but your heart is the determining factor. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see how vitally important this is, that truth stands alone, but yet truth is often stranger than fiction. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to have hearts and minds that humbly are looking for the truth in all areas of life. And Lord, if someone here is not born again, I pray they would at least consider Jesus Christ. Consider Him. And honestly, ask you for guidance and information and humble themselves and at least consider Jesus Christ, God who is manifest in the flesh. Lord, I am so glad many years ago that somebody told me about Jesus Christ and I received Him. What joy and peace was given. Thank you for that. Lord, I do pray that if somebody is in here that they would consider that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianos play. If you need the altar, it's open for you. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you know Him? You say, no, I don't. Okay, are you willing? Are you willing to find out if He is the Savior or if He is God? If you're not willing, nobody can help you. Nobody. God can't even help you if you're not willing. He will not cross your free will. He will box you in a corner to try to get you to admit it, but it's your choice. Lord, I do pray you'd help us now as we observe the Lord's Supper, that we would remember what you did for us at Calvary, for people who are born again. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to honor you and praise you for what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to have the